Shalom Aleichem. Welcome, everyone, as we prepare for Shabbos Parshas B'Shalach, the week of Bishira. I'd like to share with you a number of thoughts regarding this week's Parsha, all related to Oz Yashir, to the Shira. Let me begin with Oz Yashir. Rav Gedalia Shor in the Gedaliah has the aside, which I may have mentioned in previous years, regarding Oz Yashir being Lashon Asidus. And he makes the comment that the letter Yud, which with Yashir begins, is a simin of future. Yud symbolizes the future. For example, if you have a word in Lashon Kodesh, let's say Osa, he did. Omar, he said, that's past tense. You put a Yud in the beginning of the word, it becomes Ya'aseh, or Yoimar. It switches from past tense to future tense based on the Yud. Oz Yashir Maisha is the idea from that Oz Hayud is a lesson that the Yud is the Asidus. It's added to show Asidus. Now that itself seems to be a basic idea in Digduk rather than a Musav art. And I'd like to try to drive home the idea, the importance of the letter Yud. And to do that, I'd like to share with you what appears at first glance to be a veritable, acute vart, and we'll see that it's actually a important insight. This veritable comes from the Sefer Megala Amukais and Parshas Toldos on the pasuk Vayehi Ach Yotza. There it says, Vayikra Shema Yaakov. If the Yaakov was born, his name was Yaakov. Rashi says, who called him Yaakov? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God gave him the name Yaakov. Why Yaakov? The pasuk says, because Yadoi Oichezes Ba'akev Esav. His hand was holding the heel of Esav. He was called Yaakov. Now you'll notice there's an extra Yud. Ekev is a heel. Should have called him Ekev. Yaakov means there's an extra Yud in Yaakov. Where did that Yud come from? Says the Megala Amukais. Esav was called Esav. Why? Rashi says, L'fishaya nasa v'nigma b'sahara k'ben shanam harbe. He was born complete. He was, he had hair like somebody much older. Now, 1 minute. If he's called Esav because he was osli, he was already formed, his name should have been Ayin Sin Vav Yud, osli, made. So, just like Yaakov gained the Yud, Esav lost the Yud. V'yadoi oichezes a'aked Esav, says the Megala Amukais. Yaakov held on to the heel of Esav. The heel is the end, as in Ikvasa de Meshicha. Yaakov grabbed on to the end of Esav's name, the Yud, and he took the Yud to himself. And therefore, says the Megala Amukais, Esav lost the Yud, Yaakov got the extra Yud. Why? Yadoi oichezes a'aked Esav, he swiped the Yud from him. As I say, it sounds like a veritable that has to do with letters. We understand, though, there's something much more deep to that. The Yud symbolizes future. A fundamental difference between someone who believes in God, who believes in an Olam Haba, who believes that the things he does matters, is that he thinks about the future when he does things, not just for the present. The Esav is the one who does things for now, to gratify himself, to satisfy himself. He may even have a noble reason, but it's a now reason. Somebody who is brighter, somebody who is more serious about life, somebody who is the Chacham, what are we told? Ezel Chacham Haraya Sanaylat. A Chacham is someone who sees the future. Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people, took from the nations of the world, the Yud. The Yud is this ability, the ability to do things based on the future. How future? Ideally, we do things based on Olam Haba, the ultimate future. But in general, in life, the wisdom of the Jewish people is this wisdom, to be able to do things with a plan, to be able to sacrifice now for a benefit later. That's the side of Yahadus. The aside of being a Yid. The Yud. The Yud, the future, that's Yaakov. I saw a nice remez to this. because we have it in Parshas Bishalach, we have it in Parshas Toldos, it's actually in Bereishis as well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the Nachash HaKadmoni, the original snake, Hu Yishuf HaRaish Na'ata Teshufenu Akev. That man will overpower the Yetzahara with Raish, with the beginning of his name, Yaakov, the letter Yud. Va'ata, and you, the Yetzahara, Teshufenu Akev, you'll be more powerful when Yaakov is not thinking about the Yud, when his name is Akev, when he's not looking at the Ice Yud. There's a remnant here. There's a lesson. The lesson is that really, all that a person does, all the choices that a person makes, are better, are meaningful, are spiritual, if a person does it based on a calculation of the future. If you're looking to the future, you'll make good decisions. If you're looking for instant gratification, if you're looking for instant satisfaction, if you're not worried about the future, then you'll sit at the computer and press buttons and look at the news from 10 different angles and perhaps hear what silly people are posting online because they have nothing better to do. Silly people, people like you. That's not looking at the future. The whole idea of playing with these type of things is a now. Now I'm not planning for the future. I'm fooling around. No. We're Yaakov. We're better. Oz Yosher Maisha. Maisha taught them. Yetzias Mitzrayim is not the end. It's the beginning. It's the start. It's Yosher. It's something that points to the future. What a beautiful insight. Let's go on to a second thought, the second part. As you know, every day in Shacharis we have Sukkot Zimra, which we say six chapters from Tehillim. B'shirei David Avdecha. After all, Tehillim is all about the songs of David HaMelech. We have a custom, not mentioned in the Gemara, to my knowledge, to afterwards say Oz Yashir. Baruch HaShulchan, in the beginning of Siman Nun Beis, asks, we shouldn't be saying things in this order. First Tehillim, which is Ksuvim, and then Oz Yashir, which is Taira. The Gemara Masechtas Rosh Hashanah says that when you have Psukim of Taira, and Psukim of Ksuvim, Taira is the one that should take precedence. Why is it that we say Tehillim first, and then Oz Yashir? It's even more confusing if you look into the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah, Perek Zayin Halacha Yud Gimel, brings a custom to say Psukim Zimra Yishtabach, and then Oz Yashir, after Yishtabach. Isn't that strange? Why add Oz Yashir after we finish Psukim Zimra? The answer lies in the aside, which, if I understand correctly, is in the Pachat Yitzchak in Mamore Pesach, and he says, in a wider discussion of Oz Yashir, he said the following aside. There are two steps in our davening. The first step is Psukim Dezimra. Psukim Dezimra is recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in nature. If you think about the parakim of the Halalukas, basically they recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu in different aspects of our lives, in different aspects of nature. Even the weather is mentioned. Even Shelling is mentioned. That's Psukim Dezimra. Davening is a ladder. We go from Psukim Dezimra, where we recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu in nature, to Shema Yisrael, to be Mamlech Hashem, to seeing that nature is nothing more than a veil that hides HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. So we go from recognizing that nature is run by Hashem to Malcha Shemayim, to Yetzer Aru V'Arich Ha'ishech Ha'isher Shalayim U'Varei Yisakel. That is the Seder of the Davening. So the first part we say, Chei Olamim, God, we recognize as the one who controls all the worlds. And then in Kriya Shema we say Hashem Echad. There's really no duality. There's really no two. There's one. Oz Yashir Moshe is a point where Klal Yisrael saw Malchus Hashem. Roshit Chalayam. Everyone at the Yam saw Malchus Hashem. As a matter of fact, if you think about it, all references to Oz Yashir have Malchus. Malchus Charo Vanecha. Or Asvas Hayam, Kulam Haidu V'Imlichu V'Amru. As a matter of fact, the last pasuk of Ashira is Hashem Yimlech La'Elam Vo'ed. Oz Yashir is Malchus Hashem. The Shira is the bridge It's the bridge between Psukei DeZimra and Berachas Kriyat Shema and Shema. It's the bridge between seeing a world of nature where Hashem is hidden to trying to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu and seeing Him, Hashem Yimlech Lailam Vo'ed Malchus Hashem. And therefore the order, whether you do like the Rambam in an after Yishtabach, or do as we do, say before Yishtabach, there's a Seder to your davening. When you daven, you say Baruch Sha'amar, you say Mizmar L'Saida, that's the Karban Kaida, thanking Hashem to helping you in the different challenges of this world. And then you talk about the Halavukas. You talk about B'Se'echas Yodehu, must be Hashem helping us within the struggles we have in this world. As Yashua is a preparation, you say, Baruch Hu Hashem HaMavayrach. You say, let's bless Hashem in a new way. Let's move up. Let's say Shema. Let's recognize Hashem Echad. And then we can stand in Shemuna Esrei. Imagine that we're standing in front of the Noach Malki HaMalachim. Try to daven that way. Try to see it as a ladder, a progression. We come into shul all distracted. Sukkot DeZimra, Shema, it's all to arrive at a Shemuna Esrei and recognizing the Rabbi Shalom. And so we have one thought regarding Yashir, one thought regarding Oz Yashir in general. I'd like to end with a bit of a tale, a story that says in the Sefer Chotam Meshulash. The Chotam Meshulash is an extraordinary Sefer that tells the biography of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, some Sefer, the Ksav Sefer. For some reason, it's not a Sefer that's well known. There, in the biography of the Chassam Sefer, it is brought that the Chassam Sefer had a custom of having Talmidim come to his home on Thursday nights. And he would learn Chumash with the Ramban. The Ramban, as is well known to those who learned about the Chassam Sefer, the Ramban was especially close to the Chassam Sefer's heart. It seems he felt that his Gilgul HaNeshama was somehow attached to the Ramban. And he would learn Chumash and Ramban every Thursday night. At this stage, he had a young son, Shimon, who was a little boy. And Shimon would come. Shimon later would be known as the Shevet Sefer, the Rav of Krakow. As a little boy, he would sit on his father's lap as his father learned Chumash and the Ramban in his house with Talmidim. So Sefer was talking. And he said, Ra Shifcha Alayam. How could that be? How could a Shifcha, a maiden, on the Yam, see what Yecheskel Ben Buzi saw? It's just mind-boggling that an ordinary person could see at the time of Yamsuf it would be revealed to such a person. And he expressed amazement. At that point, the little Shimon Sefer spoke up. He said, Tati, let me say it, parents. And he said the following. He said, if you want to send a letter to someone, and you take the maiden, if the maiden in the house is illiterate, she can't read. If you send the letter with her, you don't have to seal the envelope. You give her the letter and she'll bring it. She's not going to read it because she's unable to read it. On the other hand, if you take one of your Talmidim, you send the letter with him, and you want to be sure it stays confidential, you would seal the envelope. He said the same thing at the end. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed and revealed himself to Klal Yisrael. The maid was there. She saw it too, but she didn't know what she was saying. She didn't know what to do with it. She was illiterate. In Chotam Meshulash it says that when Shimon Sefer said this, his father dismissed it and made a joke. He took off a rabbinic yarmulke, turned it inside out, and put it playfully on his child's head. When I read this in the Chotam Meshulash, it was incredible to me. What's wrong? It sounds like such a brilliant answer. I saw recently in a Sefer put out on Sefer Shemais that someone asked the Matastafer Rav Oliver Shalom, the previous Matastafer Rav Shmuel Ehrenfeld, he asked him this question, what's going on? Rav Shimon Sefer said such a beautiful pshat. And he said, it is a beautiful pshat. His father was afraid of Ayin Hara, and that's the reason that he playfully dismissed it. Interesting. That means the pshat is worthy of repeating. I don't know how old this young boy was. From the story, it seems like he couldn't have been more than 6, 7, or 8 years old. So here we have the Dvar Torah for the Parsha from a little boy. How beautiful. And with that, I wish everybody a wonderful Shabbos, a meaningful Shabbos, an appreciation of the wonders of Kriyas Yamsuf. And the biggest appreciation of Parshas B'Shalach is that Klal Yisrael is at Kriyas Yamsuf, and 3 psukim later, they're complaining about water, complaining about food. You can go from the heights and fall terribly if you're not careful. Stay high.